As we plod along in a slow economic recovery nationwide, is there something lawmakers can do here in Wisconsin? I'll get some ideas from a leader of the minority party in the state legislature as we continue the state capitol report. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in today for Joy Cardine, here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Peter Barca joins the show. He's a Democratic state representative from Kenosha, and he's the Assembly Minority Leader. Peter Barca, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be with you.
Glad you could join us today. So first of all, what kind of jobs legislation are Democrats in the legislature proposing?
Well, we're focusing on three different elements that we believe are just so vital right now, Rob. On the workforce development front, you know, last session, Governor Walker's budget cut the vocational colleges by nearly a third. And this is at a time when we're hearing from business leaders all throughout Wisconsin, really across America, how critical it is that we provide for a trained workforce. And President Obama's Secretary of Education, Ernie Duncan, did a comprehensive study and found there are 2 million jobs in America that could be filled immediately if people just had the skills available. So one of the pieces is develop a workforce development initiative so that in the public and the private sector can identify the needs in each area of the state to develop sort of short-term training programs. And in the Racine-Kenosha area, we've put together boot camp training programs to train people short-term that have worked exceedingly well. We know in areas like La Crosse, they're looking for people in the information technology field. And so the idea would be to have these short-term training programs to get people back to work so that we can fill many of these vacant positions when it's just so essential because people desperately need jobs. Also, we're focusing on small business, trying to help Main Street with getting some investment capital. So often we hear from businesses and small businesses that they want to start a new product line or they'd like to expand their operation, but getting investment capital is just so very difficult. And so in two different ways, we're trying to help work through the community development finance groups all across the state, such as like the Women's Business Initiative Fund that does such a great job in helping women-owned businesses, and also to have some direct funds that would be available for equity for small businesses that want to expand. And then finally, another key element is Buy American. We, when the Democrats were in the majority just 3 short years ago, we had passed a provision to ensure that all services provided, such as call centers, would be done by American workers. And now we want to expand that so that for the hard goods, in particular for construction materials, that they come from American-made companies. And along with this, we really want to encourage people to buy Wisconsin through reaching out to the various municipalities throughout the state, counties, townships, and get them to try to set a standard so that they're trying to buy Wisconsin-made products. We just think that through focusing on helping American-made companies and American workers that we can really go a long way towards beginning to put people back to work.
We'll get more into that legislation in just a moment, but you're mentioning that Buy Wisconsin concept reminds me of some news from over the weekend. Stevens Point-based company Skyward lost out on a contract to a Minnesota-based company Infinite Campus. That's a contract with the Wisconsin Department of Administration for about $15 million. One of your Democratic Senate colleagues, Julie Lassa, is calling for further looks into how that happened and why the contract moved from Wisconsin to Minnesota. Do you have any thoughts on that breaking news this weekend?
Well, obviously it's very troubling because, you know, this has been a company that has been providing services to so many different school districts throughout the state. I know Senator Lassa has been very concerned, as has Representative Katrina Shanklin from Stevens Point. I think they've already both sent letters, and they want to reanalyze the procurement that went into awarding this contract, because it had been a decentralized process where each school district decided on their own which services and which company could best provide for them. And the Wisconsin company Skyward has the vast majority of those contracts. And now they went to a centralized process, and now it'll end up with the Minnesota company. So obviously we need to take a second look at this. And I remember when And Tony Earle was governor, and they put out a procurement to buy vehicles for our state fleet. And at the time, with the initial contract that went out, it really did not favor American Motors, who had in the past provided state vehicles. Well, when they looked at it from a longevity standpoint and frequency of service, it was clear that we could get the best value for our money with going with American Motors Corporation. I think we need to take a second look at this too. Maybe there's some other elements that can be brought to bear, and we know this company has done good work throughout Wisconsin.
Rob Ferret filling in for Joy Cardine. I'm talking to Assembly Democratic Leader Peter Barca about job creation in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or talk at WPR.org. What would you like to see the state government do, or not do, for that matter, when it comes to job creation? Do you think there's a role that state government should play? If so, what should it be? 800-642-1234. Peter Barca, of those three things you mentioned, the technical colleges helping with the skills gap, helping support angel investment in smaller Wisconsin businesses, and the Buy America initiative, I mean, on all three of those, you're in the minority party, in the Assembly, in the Senate, and you don't have the governor's office. Do you see Republicans working with you on any of those?
Well, we certainly hope they will. You know, clearly, we've given this package to the governor. I gave it to Speaker Voss as well. And, you know, when people ran for re-election this past fall, and when the governor ran to retain his seat during the recall, virtually every person running said, we need more bipartisanship, we need to work together more. And we hope that wasn't just empty campaign rhetoric. We hope they were being genuine. And, you know, clearly Wisconsin has had an abysmal record on job creation over the past couple of years. We're 42nd in the nation. Fortune magazine is projecting that we're going to remain there for the next couple of years. So we have to defy that projection, and there's nothing more important right now than trying to help put people back to work. You know, that goal of 250,000 jobs that the governor made as a centerpiece when he ran for governor was a good goal. It was a bold goal. But we're failing, and the only way we're going to catch up is through being aggressive and working hard and working together. So I guess this will be somewhat of a test to find out how genuine people were with their campaign promises.
Well, one big jobs-related issue that Republicans are working on, we're expecting a vote in committees this week in both the Assembly and Senate on mining legislation. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald wrote an op-ed piece saying 3,000 construction jobs would be created and over 2,800 long-term jobs. When it comes before you for a vote, are you going to vote in favor of the mining bill?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm one of the principal co-authors of the bipartisan bill. You know, there's two different bills that are floating around right now. One is a bipartisan bill. It's a streamlined process, one that Senator Cullen and Senator Jelk and Senator Schultz on a bipartisan basis have shepherded through that we know has great promise for creating a mine to avoid legal conflict and to protect the environment. The other bill that Representative Souter has put forward, we're very concerned could end up in court for an extended period of time. Now, they're going to be having an executive session on Wednesday on this, so we'll see. Hopefully the two sides can come together. It's another chance for being bipartisan and trying to do what's best over the long term for Wisconsin. But one more thing I want to emphasize is that even under the best projections and circumstances, when you talk about things like mining, you're talking about at least a couple years minimum before construction even begins. So while certainly we need to make every effort to come together in mining, the proposals we put forward to put people back to work in, you know, over the course of the next 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks versus talking about the next 2, 3, or 5 years. So, you know, to some degree, there's a lack of urgency right now on the part of the governor on so many different issues. And workforce development, he called for a special commission that I served on, that Tim Sullivan chaired. And we know that this is an area that we can get people back to work quickly on workforce development. And I just hope that they'll move forward with more urgency than we've seen over the course of the past couple of years on things that are proven and that we know will create jobs quickly.
But before we move on from mining, suppose that the bill you mentioned that you've signed on to, Cullen, Schultz, Jauch bill, doesn't come before you for a vote, and the Republican bill, Scott Souter's bill that you mentioned, does. Do you vote against that one?
Well, if they don't change it at all, I would vote against it. Now, they've indicated that they're open to changes and that there will be changes. So then the question becomes, you know, are the changes sufficient that we can feel comfortable that we're not going to just end up spending millions of dollars in attorney fees like we've been doing the last couple of years? And can we be assured that the environment will be protected over the long term so that we can, you know, not have contaminated water in the groundwater and going into Lake Superior, which is, you know, so vital for that region. So, you know, it depends on the final product, obviously. They've indicated there'll be some changes. I'm hoping those changes will be sufficient that we can avoid those unfortunate circumstances I described.
That's Peter Barca. He's the Democratic Assembly Leader, Minority Party Leader in our State Assembly. We're talking about job creation in Wisconsin. He's got a package of a few different bills. Aiming to close the skills gap, aiming to boost investment in small business in Wisconsin, aiming to get a more Buy America, Buy Wisconsin policies when the state is spending its money. What are your thoughts? What do you think needs to happen to boost job creation in the state? Give a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Today's weather, cloudy in the morning, sunny in the afternoon, cold with highs in the low to mid-teens, tonight turning cloudy with snow developing, lows in the single digits above and below zero, tomorrow variable clouds with some snow, temperatures warming up a little with highs in the 20s. Coming up after 8, WPR head honcho Mike Crane joins the show, talking about some changes, some big changes here on the Ideas Network and our NPR News and Classical Music Network, along with the other news going on behind the scenes at Wisconsin Public Radio. This half hour, we have Peter Barca with us. He's Assembly Minority Leader, Democrat from Kenosha. And we're talking about job creation plans. He and his fellow Democrats have some ideas on the table, including using technical colleges to help fill the skills gap, boosting angel investing, boosting investment in small business with some state support, among other things. We'll get to your calls now at 800-642-1234. We've got Jack in West Bend. Hi, Jack.
Hi. I just wanted to say I do want to focus also on creating jobs in Wisconsin. And we have a balanced budget right now, thanks to Mr. Walker, who was handed a very similar scenario that Bush handed Obama. That said, every item that came up here, Mr. Baca or Braca, whatever his name is, slammed the governor. And that's not what I expect. That's not what the American public expects. And I want you to get off of it and actually work together and figure out what some bipartisan things to work here. The technical college is cutting on there. We didn't get a balanced budget simply because there weren't hard choices to make. And to make these flippant comments and the little ha-ha laughing and the things like it's a joke is actually, it insults me.
All right. Thanks for the call, Jack. Peter Barca, you're calling for bipartisan cooperation, but Jack's calling you on it. He says if you want bipartisan cooperation, make nice with the governor.
Well, we made every effort to do that, and quite to the contrary, what this caller just stated, that's not true. Many of these bills, such as the Community Development Finance Act, passed the Assembly last session 92-5. It never made it before a vote in the Senate. The angel investment bill that Senator Lassa has put forward on the Senate side of the equation, the governor put in a special session call. The workforce development piece of the equation, the bill about attempting to provide for the short-term training, that specifically wasn't put forward by the governor. However, at the governor's request, I served on the Sullivan Commission that he put together, which was a bipartisan commission. So, as a matter of fact, I did work with the governor and governor's office to try and bring forward a number of ideas, and I'm just saying there needs to be more urgency. And the urgency has not been there over the course of the last couple of years. And I'd like to see us move forward in a positive, constructive manner. So, you know, you've got to call what you're seeing. And right now, we're not doing well on job creation. That's not my opinion. That's a fact. That's what the statistics show. So it's not to the goal is to work together, and we've made every effort to do that. I also served on the governor's venture capital task force that Secretary Mark Buer, former Secretary of Administration from the Tommy Thompson era as governor, and we brought together a consensus to move forward a package. So we, at every turn, when the governor's asked us to work with him, we've done that. We're trying to work with him. We're trying to move forward aggressively. That is the goal.
Thanks for the call, Jack. We'll go now to Royce in Madison. Hi, Royce.
Hi. I wanted to bring up the LogistiCare contract that's expiring in March that's been a dismal failure. It provides non-emergency medical transportation. It used to be coordinated with county. And the contract was run out of, the current contract was run out of Georgia, and it's really underperformed. And again, this is a case of going to centralization versus leaving it decentralized. And I think that contract is out of Children and Families, and it's something the legislature should really watch.
Gotcha. Thanks for the call, Royce. That's not exactly a jobs thing, but any thoughts on that, Peter Barca?
Well, there's no question. Nicole is right. I mean, we've had just massive problems with the LogistiCare services that have been offered. I know they're putting it back up for rebid. I'm not clear exactly where that's at the moment, but it is a serious issue, and people that depend on LogistiCare to be able to get to you know, critical appointments that they have and other types of business that's vital to them. It's just very important. So the caller is right about that, and it is something that we're tracking very closely. And Representative Penny Bernard-Shaver has really been such a leader in this. She called for an audit. She's been tracking it and is putting forward new initiatives to try to correct that.
Thanks for the call, Royce. We'll go now to John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to make a brief comment that I just went to Madison Area Technical College last fall, took some basic courses, and the reading level of some of the fellow students and the writing level, it seemed like they're at 9th or 10th grade. I feel like some of the, not all, but some of the effort that's been put into technical colleges has been to make up for a lack of public schools getting good skills, good basic skills for their students. I just don't think making up for public school lack of success with technical college is a good economic decision.
Thanks for the call, John. So, Peter Barca, I guess invest more in public schools or make public schools more effective to prepare people for jobs.
Mm-hmm. Well, the initiatives we're talking about have nothing to do with remedial educational efforts. It's trying to have short-term training so that people can get the training they need in order to go back into the workforce immediately. Now, in terms of people's skill level, just to address his point head on, you know, we have called for, you know, performance-based changes last session on a bipartisan basis. We did pass a package attempt to do that. But then the other side of the equation is resources. And, you know, the other changes last session in the governor's budget is we took $1.6 billion out of the public schools. And I am worried that that's going to take a toll over the long term. At the Super Bowl party I was at last night, one of the main topics of conversations during halftime was, you know, the drop-off in honors and AP courses being offered at some of the high schools in the Kenosha area in particular. So, you know, investments in public education are critical. Having a focus on performance-based results is important. And we, you know, I am very concerned, though, that, and we'll see what the governor's budget has to say about that, because last session public schools were hurt dramatically in terms of the amount of resources that they had.
A couple things we've heard from the governor and from Republican legislators that they'd like to see. Tax cuts, specifically income tax cuts, that they say will help boost the economy. More money in our pockets, more spending, and it'll boost business. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, to the degree to which we can help middle class and those struggling to get in the middle class to have more resources available. We think that is very important. Of course, President Obama had, you know, campaigned hard to maintain, you know, tax cuts for the middle class. And so we'll see what shape that takes as well in the governor's budget. But, you know, it seems to us that the most important thing is to ensure that those people that most need assistance that have been hit hardest over the course of really the past decade, with wages being stagnated, they're the ones that need the most help.
And then briefly, the governor has also called for a package of changes in regulations, mostly regulations geared at making life less complicated for small business owners, things like unemployment insurance filing and things like that. Do you think a little bit of cutting through regulations would help boost small businesses?
Well, I think it is important that we review regulations regularly. You know, I served in the Clinton administration. I was in charge of the Regulatory Fairness Commission that the President Clinton put together, where we looked at regulatory enforcement issues in order to try to help small businesses comply with regulations. And it was a great success. You know, President Clinton had gone through this whole reinventing government initiative. So I think that to the degree to which we're helping people to comply, to the degree to which we're getting rid of regulations that no longer make sense, we need to do that.
We'll cut in there. We're just about out of time. Peter Barca, thanks so much for joining us today. That's Peter Barca. He's Democratic Assembly Minority Leader. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour, Amanda Magnus handling your calls, Cynthia Schuster for on-air direction. Thanks to you for listening and for calling in as well. I'm Rob Ferret, filling in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network.